Hey, we want to thank our sponsor, Exoskin. You can find them at exoskin.us. We like to thank them for their partnership and for supporting this podcast. It's a fun one coming up. You're not going to want to miss this. We've been all sheltering in place throughout the world and probably running around our houses in bare feet. And so you're thinking right now, do I really want to put on a pair of socks? Well, yeah, you do. And Exoskin has the best toe socks that money can buy.
Well, there is nothing better than slipping into a new pair of socks and getting out on the trail, and you deserve it. You've been sitting around either running on a treadmill or just running to the refrigerator. Either way, you need a new pair of socks.
This is the perfect time to do it. A lot of the states and countries around the world are starting to lift restrictions. Treat yourself to a brand new pair of Exoskin toe socks and their other compression gear. If you go to exoskin.us, or better yet, go to our partners page at trailrunnernation.com, and there is a discount there that you can link over.
exoskin.us.
How can Anton Krupicka be so beautiful? And once you see Unbreakable, once you see the movie, and you see his sinewy figure, and you see that body and the beard and the flowing hair, you have to believe the hype.
Oh, that's
hilarious. This is getting a bit creepy for me, Scott. I gotta be honest.
With his
no,
man crush.
It's all about the cult of Anton.
Welcome to another edition of Trail Runner Nation. My name is Don Freeman.
And I'm Scott Warr.
And we're on one mic today, Scott. And if you feel me just drift away, that's because Scott is moving the mic over to him.
You know, sometimes you show up to the trailhead and you forgot your water bottle.
So your shoes.
I get the left shoe, you get the right shoe.
Hey, so we've got a great guest today, and many of us know the name Buzz Burrell for a lot of reasons. But before I give his official introduction, I'm just gonna lay this out. As doing research, as we do, Scott, on Trail Runner Magazine, he hitched a ride 80 miles from his home in Boulder, Colorado, and ran back on remote trails for 2 days with only a straw and a credit card. any truth to this, Buzz?
Wow. Yeah. Well, I once postulated, because there's this whole thing about ultra lightweight gear. We always wanted to have the lightest weight gear. And I postulated that a credit card is the lightest weight gear you can have. I think it's a very good point. People tend to forget about it. And so, yeah, the straw is a good piece of gear, because out in the Rockies and the Sierras, you can drink out of little rock crevices that you can't get water out of. So the straw is odd, but it's credible. And the credit card is fantastic. You can go for weeks just a credit card.
You must have a larger credit limit than I do.
which might explain this spot in the Ultimate Direction hydration vest for a credit card. And Buzz Burrell has been the brand ambassador, the VP for the brand at Ultimate Direction. And he's recently been able to retire from that, really to spend more time doing the things that he loves doing, which are FKTs, which is part of our topic we're going to talk about today. He has his own FKT website, his own FKT podcast that we'll learn it a bit more. And he started doing FKTs before FKTs were even cool, before we even knew about them, Scott.
Were they called FKTs then?
What did you call them back then, before they were officially FKTs?
I called them projects.
tell us about your first project.
Well, project comes from climbing, I should note, because I think a lot of the FKT culture, if you will, since, you know, I helped get it going. Peter helped get it going. A fellow named Bill Wright was an active climber, actually wrote a book on climbing, helped actually coin the term. And so coming out of the climbing culture, there's a few things that you do and don't do. One thing you don't do is spray. You don't brag. You don't talk a lot about yourself, but you do want to establish what was done accurately. You know what I mean? So like in a climbing, it's a first ascent. So in a sense, an FKT is a first ascent also. And so if someone is working on a route, it was called a project and still is. And so you could project a route. Someone could go up to a big cliff and they can't on site at another climbing term. So they'll work at it. They might spend a couple of weeks projecting it. They turn it into a verb until they can climb the route. And that's where the word project comes from. And so for me, gosh, like you said, I can't do first. First would be kind of hard because I've been doing this for 50 years. But I can say that we kind of got the show on the road with the John Muir trail run that Peter and I did in the year 2000. I think that's what really kicked it into a different gear.
Mm-hmm. Now, what question came to my mind is the culture of the trail running community and the culture of the climbing community. Are there some similarities? Do they match? Are we close cousins?
I would like to think so. Thanks for asking that, Don. For example, a lot of people have asked us to do bike. They want to do bike FKTs and so forth. It's actually a little different culture, in my personal opinion. But I think the trail running, a little less road running, and the climbing culture are fairly similar. And the same people tend to do it. And I think the similarities are, again, no spray. Mm-hmm. You know, bragging about yourself is considered very poor form in both cultures. And individualism is considered very high thing to do, right? You're not really quite a joiner. You kind of want to do your own thing, to pioneer something and do it for your own reasons is part of both sports.
Yeah. And one of the things that I noticed early on in the trail community is you didn't ask somebody what your time was on that race. You didn't say, hey, I ran that in 25 hours, whatever it might be. The question would be not what was your time? It was, were you happy with how the race went? And then the person could tell you anything they want because spraying, I like your term spraying, isn't really, it's kind of frowned upon, not only in the COVID time, but just in the trail time.
Yeah, definitely frowned upon with a pandemic going on. Good point, Don.
Hey, and I do want to mention, and we'll link this in the show notes, we interviewed Buzz, it's been a couple years ago now, about the FKT website. I think you were just getting it up and running and collecting data. We talked about supported and non-supported FKTs and how to record those. And the specifics, like you were saying, in climbing, if you're doing a first ascent, you need to have all of the data and all of the proof that you did that first ascent and how you did it and the timing. Same thing with FKTs. It's a pretty formal procedure, and there needs to be some redundant metrics before it's officially registered. Is that correct, Buzz?
You're correct. And again, that's one of the parallels with climbing, where I think climbing has influenced the FKT sport much to its great benefit. Because I think climbers, you know, it's a soul sport, right? Climbing and surfing, these are soul sports. Now, climbing actually was going to be into the Olympics. Surfing was going to be in the Olympics. Probably still will be, but that'll be next year. But fundamentally, these are primal activities, and running is a primal activity. Now, track running, great. All running's good. Road running, great. All running is good. But as you said, trail running, you know, it's a little different. We're not staring at our watch every few minutes. We're kind of looking at nature every few minutes. And then, Scott, absolutely, as you said, after you've done all that, you want to write it down, you want to document it, and you don't want to lie about it, right? To fib on something would be dishonorable, which would be the worst. You just don't really want to do that. And I think climbers established that pretty well. You know, it's a culture, right? It's a culture and a community before it's a sport.
Ooh, I like that. In fact, we may have to work that into a title of this podcast somehow.
Well, you're the title maker, Scott, so you should do that. And I like how you brought up primal, you know, primal sports. That certainly running is primal. I mean, it's the primary thing I do when I'm in trouble is try to get out of the way. So then surfing is you're out there on the ocean, which is, you know, the mother of us with the water, and climbing, certainly all of that is just the things that our ancestors did before the wheel came along. They were just primal movements.
I agree. That's really what it is. And if you're having trouble running, I'm just going to toss this in right now. Hopefully it's not inopportune. If you're having trouble running, if you're not feeling it, kind of go back to that place and look, if you will. I mean, there's all sorts of gazillion videos, coaches, instructional, things like that. But if I was you, I would look at an 8-year-old run Just watch an 8-year-old girl or a boy and watch them just run across the playground. That's kind of what you want to do.
And what you see, because Dr. Mark Cucuzzola has talked to us a lot about that running gait, right? And how kids just have it naturally. And as soon as we get older and put on some shoes with a big pad on the bottom, we start to kind of mimic other runners that we see, which overstride and heel strike. But if you look at the kids, short, choppy steps, they land with their foot right underneath them, whether it's heel strike or 4-foot strike. That's another topic for another conversation. but what is important is that foot comes underneath the center of mass, regardless of where you hit it. And you're right. You watch a kid not only run, but if you watch a kid lift, because I get to do some ergonomics training for lifting. And if you watch a kid lift, they do everything right. They get down, they keep their back straight, they squat, they use their hips and their strength, they look up, they brace their core, and then they lift. And they weren't taught a single thing. And then you watch their parent, and they're bending over at the waist and twisting and doing everything wrong. And there's some similarity with running and lifting. And you're right, watch a kid. They have it. They intuitively know.
And then here it is, the three of us sitting at best. Because as you know, sitting is the new smoking.
Hey, so the reason we got Buzz, or at least the initial reason we got Buzz on the podcast,
we both like to know,
is, you know, right now we're in the midst of this COVID thing. If you're listening to this in the year 2025, back in the year 2020, we were told to stay at home. And a lot of the races have been canceled or maybe being postponed. And so we're still trying to push ourselves and set goals and strive to be this trail runner. And we're thinking, I wonder if more people are going out to the trails and using the FKT as their new race to give them some motivation. And I sent a quick text to Buzz and I said, hey, we want to talk to you about this. And he got real excited. Tell us a little bit about where are we? Is the participation in the FKT increased in light of the situation we're in?
Yes, our website traffic has increased. Mainly the submissions have increased. So the way that works is someone submits a route or an FKT. There's kind of two prongs to it. And the route is what they're going to do. And the FKT is the time it took to do it. And so you can submit an FKT on an existing route, or you can submit an FKT on a new route, which means you're submitting the time and the route at the same time. And so both of those have gone up dramatically. And, you know, kind of like you guys, you know, we're making just money hand over fist. You know, we're just driving around the new Porsche and things like that. So it did somewhat more seriously, kind of hit us a little hard and nice. So we're happy that people are doing it. While at the same time, Peter Backman and I are processing all this stuff that's coming in. It's like, oh my gosh, we're processing a lot of information. And pardon me if I'm going on too long here, but a little interesting aside, Germany is just blown up. Like 20% of our FKT submissions are coming in from Germany right now. So I'm fortunately, Google Translate works really well, because otherwise I have no idea what they're talking about. So you translate the whole thing and say, oh, I get it. I sort of get it. Hopefully I get it. And so, yeah, things have blown up recently.
Why do you think Germany has broken out on this? What's your hypothesis?
I actually asked them. I couldn't figure it out. It's like, wow, Germany. So I wrote one of these guys back who submitted in English, and he said, well, we can't do any races, as you just said. Of course, nobody can do any races anywhere in the world, so that didn't really answer the question. And I still do not know the answer to that question. It's a darn good question. Germany is just going crazy. I think the Germans are organized and they like doing this sort of thing. And so when an FKT comes in from Germany, the GPX file is there. The form is filled out right. It's all buttoned up. When an American submits something, Peter and I are scratching our heads going, what is this? You know, what's going on? So the Germany's sort of become a plague on us and a blessing.
You know, interesting you say that. I actually work for a company where one of my workmates that I work with very regularly lives in Germany. And he is super organized, super analytical. And we do little running challenges on the Garmin Connect app. And I look at mine, I think if you look at my runs, it's pretty boring. It's the same route, same time, same pace, same heart rate. And I look at his and he goes out and his says interval training. And it's so mapped out. And I go, do you have a plan? He goes, oh yeah, of course I have a plan. I have a plan, 6 month plan. And I know what I'm doing every week as far as strength training and everything like that. So it doesn't surprise me that that's the case. The question I have for you is, this FKT website started in North America. You guys invented it and created it.
Yes.
What is the North America participation versus the worldwide participation? Did it expand quite rapidly?
It came in, it instantly went worldwide. So we're based in Boulder, Colorado, and it had a North American slant, if you will, because it kind of just grew a little bit word of mouth and geographically. But once we went to fastestknowntime.com and put it out there right away, they started coming in from all over the world. And I will say this is a little bit of trivia. The first person to submit any FKT as soon as we went live was some guy named Killian. You really? Might have heard of him. I was a little doubtful. So some guy named Killian submits this, and it's for Mount Blanc. And I'm thinking, oh, that's super fast time. This guy must be bogus. I don't really believe him. What do you guys think? Was this guy bogus?
Flash in the pan.
That's kind of what I thought. But seriously, I think he was just throwing us a bone, because Killian Jornet loves FKTs. That's really, he cares more about FKTs than he does about races. And I think he was just trying to support our site. And he saw it come online. He sent us this big spreadsheet that he had kept himself about things going on in the Alps. So he is really into it and really appreciated that. And then Australia down under, I think we're a little weak in South America. Not much going on in China. Down under is pretty good. And certainly Europe is very good, which, like I said, for unknown reason, Germany, Austria, and Belgium are the strongest countries in Europe.
Do you think the terrain or the region, mountains being close proximity, really fuels this? Do you have any flatlanders that turn in FKTs?
Two questions. I'll do the first one first. So something comes in. Something comes in and it's, I'm tired. And I'm kind of tired of entering all this data. And it's Terrenal Schnitzer Hagendas Badenhof. I'm going, what the heck is this? This is bogus. So I just load it up, Google search it. Boom, web page comes up, Terrenal Central Badenhofen. They got this whole route. They got a whole page. There's start photos, finish line photos, trail markings. It's all perfectly laid out. So there's all these routes there that I have never heard of, but they're exactly laid out. Compared with North America, we're just wandering around in the forest, right? We just got some Forest Service trail 276 and we're just doing things like that. No, that's not how they do it there. It's all perfectly planned out.
Interestingly enough, a little side note there is, I was just going on the FKT website and looking around. There's a nice map and you can do a search of where you are and what routes have been set on FKT. This is something that really surprised me, Buzz. We live kind of in the backyard. Well, actually right now we're recording from about 300 meters or 300 feet from the Western States Trail. There's relatively no FKTs here in Auburn, California, which is the epicenter of Western States. I'm surprised about that.
Well, people are going to hear this podcast and going to swarm your town. They're going to say, oh man, I got to grab some FKT action. I'm going to go to Fair Oaks, California.
Hey, Don, maybe we need to go out and set an FKT and maybe we could hold it for a couple days before we release the podcast and we can be record holders for a little while.
We could hold it until somebody ran it. Hey, are there any, this is on the honor system, quite a bit of it sounds like. Has there been any people protesting or kind of saying, come on, that wasn't done fairly? Do you find any of that?
Very little.
Oh, good.
And that's a common question. So, for example, we've been many times interviewed by the Washington Post, New York Times, Outside Magazine, things like that. And somehow the national media really likes stories like cheating. They kind of enjoy cheating. Sure. But really not that much. I mean, occasionally on a big route like the Appalachian Trail a few years ago, a woman claimed something that sort of clearly didn't happen. But it doesn't happen that much. But I will say that we have definitely tightened the standards. So when we got going, it was sort of a gentleman's agreement, and that you were part of the community first and going for an FKT second. But then as the technology evolved, so nowadays, if you don't have a GPS watch, what are you doing? I mean, sorry, everybody is carrying a GPS, either your phone or your watch. And so it's easy to document it. And secondly, the pros were doing it. There's sponsored ultra runners who are doing FKTs, and it can be part of their sponsorship package. You can make a name for yourself. You can get some eyeballs coming to your brand by podium at a major race, or by getting mentioned for doing rim to rim to rim in the Grand Canyon. And so as soon as that happens, it's like, okay, let's step it up here. Let's submit that GPX file. And then you just look at that number and it's either there or it's not. Now, having said that, if you're a technical wizard, you can go in and doctor a GPX file, but you know, really, is it worth it? I don't know how to do it, but I don't think it's worth it.
Well, your community can call you out because they know who you are and how fast you can go. And so I think there isn't anybody that can really cheat too much, because we'll call it as a bogus attempt. There's nothing worse than being caught by your peers. And so I think that's good. And it really speaks to our community. Like you said, we're there to, we're not cheaters. Climbers aren't cheaters. We're here to help one another. And that's what was making me, well, I want to ask this question. Is there some help from people that if I'm going after Buzz's FKT, could I call you and say, Buzz, I'm going after your FKT. Any tips for safety? Any tips for performance? Is your group open?
No. I mean, to be perfectly honest, I used to do things like that, but I can't. Now I'm just a data entry person, right? You know, look at Peter. Peter, just for the record, is a PhD in physics from Harvard.
Oh.
And just letting you know.
I thought they just named a pack after him. I didn't know he was all that.
Right. And then there's the PB Adventure Vest from Ultimate Direction. And he worked at NOAA, National Oceanic and Atmospheric Association, as a, you know, did peer review scientific studies on carbon cycle in the atmosphere. And so now he's going like this. He's doing data entry for your FKT. So if you say, Peter, I can't figure out how to get the GPX out of my watch, his reply might be, figure it out.
It's part of your FKT.
Yeah. And, you know, what are you going to do? I think you guys are looking at, you got a terrific organization there, Trail Running Nation. You've been doing this for years and years. And, you know, to be honest, it's sort of a shoestring. It's sort of this labor of love. And so if someone asks you, yabba, you want to interact. You want to be part of the community. While at the same time, you also kind of have to just get it done. You have to keep the product going out there. And right now, there's no charge for establishing a route, no charge for establishing an FKT. You could kick in, you know, $5 or $10 on Patreon, things like that. So, dang, I wish we might invent a new business model so that we could have interaction. That would be a great idea. I would love to do it. But right now we're kind of on the rivet just in terms of keeping up with the work.
Hey, Buzz, I want to get to the point. So if you're listening to this podcast and you're thinking, FKTs, I've heard of that, or maybe I haven't heard of that, but I'm interested because all of my races have been canceled and I want to go do something that is adventurous, pushes me.
Yeah.
I want to go do an FKT. What is the process? What is the workflow? If I wanted to go out before this podcast gets released and I wanted to run between Forest Hill and the river and set an FKT on that section of the Western States Trail, what do I need to do?
Right. Excellent question. Let's walk through that. So technically, or I should say logistically, it's fairly simple. You go to fastestknowntime.com and then says add in the top menu bar. You pull down add root or add FKT. And there's only like six or seven boxes in that form. You click submit and your work is done. Then Peter and I kind of have to process that. But backing up for a second there, that's not pure logistics, is we say, is it worth it? Because we're not Strava. We don't want to be Strava. Strava has got a bazillion segments, you know, between two random mailboxes. You know, you're lost. You can't really follow this stuff. It's just like, whatever, dude, you really did this. And FKTs are not like that. We want this to be a bucket list of the coolest routes in the world. Nice. And so when you look at something, it's worth doing. So if you go to visit your in-laws in Connecticut, you can go to the website, like you say, go to the little red dot on Connecticut and open it up. And what you find there will be totally worth doing. And so that's the somewhat subjective aspect, if you see what I mean. So the three areas are, first, it kind of has to be worth it. It has to be notable. Doesn't mean it has to be super hard or super fast. The way to look at it is, if someone visited me from outside the state, would they want to go do this route? And then two, you got to record it. You got to put it on your watch or your phone, and you got to send the GPX file in. And then three, you just got to submit the form. And that's it. So it's fairly simple, I think.
So it's really cool. Even if you're not out there to do an FKT and you just want an amazing place to run, you can find amazing routes on your site.
That's what I think its chief purpose is, actually, because you don't have to get an FKT to enjoy going there and looking at it. It's a bucket list. It's an aspirational list. And if you read the reports, you go, wow, that's kind of interesting. That's fun stuff.
You know, that's really interesting. Thank you, Don. It actually piqued my interest. On the FKT.com website, if I go to Connecticut and I see this route and I go, you know what? I'm going to go out this Saturday. I'm going to run that. Are the GPX files there to download also? Or do I need to find my own route?
No, they should be there. Now, I should note that things that came in earlier might not have them, but we've tightened it up now. So now they should have the GPX file. If you don't have the technical ability, you can download the file. You can load it onto your phone, on your watch, or however you're doing it. And there you go. You can whip out the phone, load it into Gaia or whatever app you're using and follow the route. But also, you might not need the file. You can just go, oh, wow, here's the trailhead. It's 12.2 miles. It's got 1,500 feet of vert. That'll take me, you know, it took them, you know, hour 42 minutes. It'll take me 2 hours, 20 minutes. Great. So right out of the gate, you have a good sense of what to do.
Hey, talk to us about, because I've had a chance to use Gaia and it just really is a cool, cool app. Tell us about how cool that is, Buzz, to put that on your phone and have that app and what it feels like to then follow a course on that using that Gaia.
Gaia is just bonkers. I mean, who were these people? I would like to, you know, give you this great insight into it. My insight is like, holy crap, who are those guys? I mean, how'd they do that? You know, maybe just speaking for myself, but I'm awed by what they're able to do. They basically did it for free. So here's the 1-2 punch. I always give the 1-2 punch. It's Cal Topo, just as it's spelled, C-A-L-T-O-P-O, and Gaia, just like the Greek goddess for the earth. And so you can create a route sitting in your living room or your parents' basement, as it might happen to be, and dream big. You know, it's winter. And so you go into Cal Topo, you can combine it with Google Earth, and you can draw out a route. You got the vert, you got the distance, you got the topo maps all right there. And then you can notate it. You can do anything you want in Cal Topo. Then you export it as a file and load that into Gaia on your smartphone. And then when you're out in the middle of nowhere, you say, what the heck is going on? You open up Gaia and there's this blinking blue dot. That would be you. And so you could get out, which I'm an expert map reader because I'm an old guy, map and compass, but now you don't really need to do that. You don't need cell phone reception because Gaia is pulling off satellite. You don't need cell phone at all. And the little blinking blue dot is you. And that little red line is the route you drew. So you say, oops, I guess I got to go that direction to get back on my little red line. There you go. Now, could be a little more complicated than that, but essentially you make the little blinking blue dot go to where the little red line is and you're golden.
First time I used Gaia and CalTopo, I thought, you know what? I have a $500 or $600 brand X handheld GPS device. And my smartphone with Gaia is better than that because it the screen's better and I can pan zoom around and use my finger to navigate. I was surprised with that.
That's exactly right. We started off using the Garmin, the eTrax, and Yabba Yabba. I had all those devices. And then the iPhone screen got really good, really high res, and they invented Gaia. And suddenly you go, why? What am I doing? The phone, for I'd say, where are we now? Six or seven years. The iPhone really got it going, is what all backcountry people have been using for navigation for at least 6 or 7 years now.
And there's even an arrow to show which direction you're traveling. For people like me, that's important. I even need an arrow because if it was a map and compass, I would still be out there. I'm not that good with directions. But here's another cool thing about the Gaia. Not only does it run off satellite, but you can put your phone on airplane mode and your battery can last a very long time because it still works on airplanes. So it's a great tool. And I think it's a good safety tool if you're on a new route somewhere, you're not sure. It's nice to have that if you're insecure like me.
That's starting from 5, by the way. So there's a whole little progression. So the early iPhones, they would turn that feature off, and so you had to go in there and jailbreak it and figure there's a way to enable the satellite to still work when there's an airplane mode. But then since then, as you said, put in airplane mode, it saves a ton of battery. And if you basically what the battery usage is the lighting, the screen. And so the following doesn't actually take that much battery life, if you see what I mean. The battery is drainage is really coming from lighting up the screen. And so you can get a lot done. And then if you're out there for days, you just bring an extra power pack. Mm-hmm. So you can, for like now, it's like crazy. It's like for $40 or $50, you just buy an extra battery pack. And so you can go out there for days and do the entire John Muir trails.
So what you're telling me is I need a smartphone with the Gaia app and a credit card, and I can go anywhere.
Yeah. Well, start with the credit card.
And buy your phone.
Right.
Hey, Buzz, another component to FKTs is this whole unsupported versus supported. Can you explain that and how you verify and why someone would want to do supported versus unsupported?
Right. Thank you. I get that question remarkably frequently. And by the way, that's it comes back to the climbing thing where there's, trad and sport, and there's, the red point and the on-site, and there's definitely little categories that are important. And so for us, there's three categories, and I'll go in order. There is unsupported, which means you are doing everything by yourself. And the only thing you will get out of the situation is water from natural sources. So you can bring all the food you want, all the water you want, but nobody can hand you anything, let alone a store.
Can you plant water along the way?
Nope.
Oh.
That would be self-supported. Right.
Third category.
Exactly. So if you visualize it, there's kind of two ends of the spectrum. Unsupported, which means you're doing everything except water along the way, which means you drink out of a stream, or supported, which can be full on race level support, which is someone's jogging next to you, handing you a power bar. Now, in between is self-supported. So as you just mentioned, Don, that would be caches. So you go out there in advance, say you got Ruth's is going to take you 20 hours, and you can put in three or four food and water drops and pick that up. Or you go to a store, that's self-supported also. But if there's anyone else supporting you, that is supported. So there's the three categories. On one end, there's supported. The other end, there's unsupported. And in between is self-supported. But here's a the point that Peter and I like to make all the time. Which one is best? None of the above.
The one you can run the fastest. The one that you can actually put a time up where you own it. That's the best one.
Well, that's good. We could say that, but interestingly enough, then what happens, what we see a lot, is people start working that angle because they want the FKT. So they look at this. Sorry, I'm laughing when I said this, but this definitely happens a lot. They look at the three times, and they'll go for the one that has the softest time. And so they'll try to work it. So they'll start sending us emails saying, well, if I do this, is it still self-supported? Well, someone's just along taking pictures if my wife comes out for part of the route. And it's like, dude, you know, do what works best and let the time be whatever it is. So don't try to go unsupported if it's not appropriate. You know what I mean? If you want, you know, your husband to jog along with you for half of it, great. That's going to be more fun. Now that means you're paced. That means you're supported. Fine. Don't sweat it. One is not better than the other. Please do what works best for you. Have fun. That's kind of the point.
I feel like you actually hit the play button. You've given that advice a time or two.
You think I've said that before?
I think, and I'm sure you've answered this question too. What about if I use that Gaia phone that I have to call a friend in the middle of this thing? Does that become supported? That's a rule book. You should have that probably in the rule book somewhere.
Wow, that's an interesting question there, Don. So when we rewrite the guidelines, we'll consult with you, and you'll come up with little angles and tricks that we have not thought of.
Well, that's how I got through school.
So basically, if you're out there and you're running an FKT attempt and someone comes out to just run alongside you, they're not handing you anything, that's still supported.
That's correct. Pacing equals supported. Okay. And that for any distance. Sorry about that.
Okay. So here would be my recommendation. If you're calling a friend on the cell phone and just getting some motivation to say, I'm in a bad spot, what do I need to do? I would say that's supported too. So if you're keeping track and you need some advice from a guy that's never done an FKT, that would be mine.
Okay. I think Buzz and Peter should actually have the call recorded and then they can listen to it and decide whether it was helpful or not. I think that's what you guys need to do.
Okay. Well, we'll think about that. Well, I'll put it number 124 on our to-do list.
Hey, tell us about your FKTs. What has been one of your greatest feats of accomplishment as far as FKTs, one that you're most proud of?
No spraying. You know, this isn't spraying.
Oh, no.
If we ask, then it's appropriate. It's not spraying at all. At least that's our rule.
I think that's a fair rule. Someone asks. Well, I'll mention a few things if I could. One, of course, is we did the Colorado Trail, which I think kind of kick-started the entire multi-day trail thing. Peter and I did that in 1999, and we intentionally got publicity on it and donated money to the Colorado Trail Foundation. It was tracked. And after that, you know, Hal Corner went out and Betsy Kalmeyer went out on it, and it just kind of blew the whole multi-day thing up. So we're kind of happy about getting the whole game going. I'm kind of happy about the John Muir Trail, because we looked at that and there had been, you know, fantastic people better than me, who had done it before. Blake Wood's an incredible runner. I don't know if you realize how good Blake Wood is. And Tim Twitmire, I think he was four-time winner of the Western States 100. But they were kind of fast packing it. And Peter and I, we're really good in the backcountry. And so we said, we can just run this. We don't need all this stuff. We're just going to go out there and go at night, and we don't need to do all the gear that they did. And so we went for a sub-4 day. It was kind of like the 4-minute mile, the sub-4 day on the John Muir Trail, I think, was sort of the sub-4-minute mile, an interesting parallel there. And so I think we kind of set some standards and moved the sport along. Not my favorites. So if you want, I could answer what my favorite is. Yeah. And okay, weirdly, I have to look it up because I don't even think it's on our site.
You're hiding it so no one can break it, huh?
It disqualifies, Scott.
I'll have to check it out. But it's what I call the triple trek, the Canyonlands triple trek. There's three districts in Canyonlands National Park, which are Needles District, Island in the Sky, and the Maze District. And they're separated by the Green River and the Colorado River and the combined. That's why there's three separate districts. And I looked at this. I'd been out there quite a bit, and I thought, I bet I can do all three districts in one push. And I can, there's no such thing as Caltopa, no such thing as Gaia, phones didn't really matter. And so I just looked at it on big paper maps. I said, I see a route here. It's going to be about 100 miles. And I think I can do this in one shot. And so I went out there to do it and, you know, just failed completely. Because first of all, you have to swim the Green River, which is sort of problematic. Then you had to trek through the entire Maze District. And then you had to swim back across the Colorado River. And I got down to the Colorado River, and now it was dark. You know, I was behind schedule. It was dark. I was there at Spanish Bottom. And, you know, this is in May because, you know, it got daylight in May. And it was full spring runoff. And there's in the dark, I could see logs floating down. And I could hear Brown Betty, which is, you know, this class four rapid in Cataract Canyon down below me. And I thought, you know, I just don't got this. I just don't think I got this swim. It was such a fascinating. I love these moments, you guys. Pardon me. I'm getting enthusiastic here because these pivotal moments, you know, it's not the number. It's when you're thinking, technically, I can still swim this. Technically, you can do this at night at full spring runoff, but emotionally, I can't do it. You see what I mean? There's this amazing little boundary between the two. And of course, if you don't make it, you're really cooked. And so I spread out my map and laid down on top of my map. I spread out my other map and pulled that on top of me and just spent the night there. Next day, I didn't have any more food or water. So I walked back up to the confluence about 4 miles upstream and waited for a boat to come by. And I just kind of waved, ah, look at me. And they slowed down. I jumped in the water, swam out to him, and he hauled me back up to the trailhead where I hitchhiked back to my car. So that was my first attempt. I finally made it 2 years later on my third attempt, and I called it the Canyonlands Triple Trek. And I like that. Not, of course, because of the time, but because of what I had to learn. It was all about learning. And I think when you talk to people from Tony and Peter and Killian, they want to learn, right? I think that's what we really like about trail and ultra running. We want to be connected to the landscape. We want to be part of nature. We don't want to conquer it. And so this route required me to learn, grow, and understand this terrain better.
Boy, you know, you couldn't have segued into this question. In fact, I think you addressed it. But where I wanted to go was, you don't have to be the fastest known runner to do these things. It sounds like there's so much more to an FKT. It's your personal challenge. It's your adventure. It's your chance to have something structured and organized and something to circle on your calendar. And it just sounds like a wonderful sport, something could stand on its own. It's really exciting what you guys have put together.
Well, thanks. This, of course, goes right back to how we started this, which is no more races. Like you said, here it is May of 2020, and I'm not sure when the next race will be, not including virtual races. And so FKTs give you an opportunity. And as you correctly noted, it's not exactly about the time. As I mentioned in my personal favorite project, it's about learning. So maybe there's some place in this world that you know better than other people know, right? And so the fast guy can't do it because they don't understand it. But you can go out there and say, I've got this figured out. I know what time of year to do it. I know what time of day to do it. I know which direction to do it. I know what gear to take. And maybe you spend a few weeks projecting it, right? So rather than someone sending me a submission saying, well, I'm going to do this next week. I've never been there before. It's like, well, dude, go there, figure it out, work on it, then do it. No one's going to steal it from you. So learn about this amazing world of ours.
And to your point, Buzz, some of my favorite races to look back on aren't the ones I've done the best on. They're the ones I've done the worst on. They're the ones that I've had to overcome some major obstacles and limp my way in and even, you know, put an arm around a fellow runner and both run in together through teamwork. Those are the most fond experiences I've had. And it's not because I stood on a podium, because I only carry podiums. I don't stand on them. So I think you're right. Find an adventure, embrace it, and go out and project it and do it. Scott, I jumped in front of you. I just wanted to say that.
You know, I was going to say, I've seen a podium. I did. I don't even carry them. That's how far away I am from the podium. I'm curious, as somebody's wheels are turning, there's no distance required or limits. What is the shortest FKT? Do you know what that is? And what's the longest?
Oh, well, we recently, maybe 6 or 7 weeks ago, we said we don't really want to look at anything less than 5 miles, okay, unless it's special. It's either 5 miles or 500 feet of vert. Now, I did approve one that was shorter than that. It was in Lansing, Michigan, and it was a local test piece. You know, there's this hilly loop, and you can see the Strava leaderboard had, you know, 232 people on it. And so it was cool. This is what they were getting after. So that was good, but what happened is someone, this is anonymous, so I can say this. Someone submitted something that took 6 minutes, 11 seconds. And I said, you know, we want this to be for everyone. We want this to be open, but 6 minutes, it could be very cool. But to be honest, Peter and I just can't process it. It's going to take us 6 minutes to process it. So the shortest one should be at least 5 miles, let's say. But the longest one, well, heck, you know, there's the Appalachian Trail, there's the Pacific Crest Trail, there's the Trans-Pyrenean Trail, things like that. Trans-Am, wait, probably the longest one we have is running across America.
You know, I'm just thinking, I know that the title of the website is Fastest Known Time. I know that Don and a friend of ours, Bob Crowley, two years ago, did a training run on a very steep hill here in Auburn, in the Auburn area, that is 1,000 vertical feet, and it's about a mile, almost exactly a mile, and they did how many repetitions they can go up and down in 24 hours. Does that qualify, or is there a way that you could qualify that? So it's not time-based. The time is fixed, but it's how many repetitions you could make. Is that something that you can also process?
I'm looking really to retro qualify for this is what I'm doing at this point. I'm picking something out that I've done okay on and see if I can get in your record book.
Right. You did it when you're 24 years old. And so what the heck?
Well, yeah, exactly. It took him that long to doctor the GPX file.
Well, actually, that's a heck of a question. And that's a very fun example, Scott, because that's an example of how we struggle. Mm-hmm. That's how good that question is, right? So Peter doesn't want to be the judge. Neither of us are comfortable with this. In a way, that's why Peter is so good at this. This is why you want Peter doing it, because he has zero ego. He has zero point of view. He's uncomfortable deciding what is appropriate. And so we actually email each other back and forth on that very question. So we do have some laps, to answer your question more specifically, but it's got to be pretty good. We want that to be on a notable location, not just something random. One time we had someone who did 46 laps on his 46th birthday. And it's like, that's very cool. Excellent. Good for you. But then if someone is 42 years old, what are they going to do? 42 laps? So it gets kind of weird. On the other hand, we just approved something out in California. What was it called? Something Point. I forgot the name of it. And they did that exact thing. They did the 24 hours. How many ups and downs can you do? And we just said, great, because that looked notable. That looked like something the locals are going to get after. You see what I mean? Yeah. But that's a good example. It's like, we got to have you guys on our advisory board. This is a struggle. It's hard to figure out.
Hey, so another thing to figure out, and I mentioned a moment ago before we wrap up here that you have established yourself as a legit sport. And I believe, what's your exit strategy? What do you can't do this for another 200 years, but this sport needs to go on for another 200 years. Have you guys thought through that of how does this torch get passed and continue on?
Well, my plan is to sell it to Google for a couple million.
Ironically, that's our Trail Runner Nation plan.
Dang. Well, they got the money, we're good.
They still haven't taken our call, by the way.
We're using Gmail, and they still won't even take that.
Whoa, gosh, and you guys are great customers. I understand that. I think right now our startup was to establish this with high degree of credibility, because FKT started to blow up, right, a number of years ago. And we didn't want a marketing company to get it. We didn't want a brand to get it. We didn't want to go into private enterprise. And so we wanted this to be a worldwide source of credible information where anyone can play, and it's totally fair and it's totally impartial. And we've done that. The exit strategy, we haven't got there yet. Right now, we're, as I said a few minutes ago, we're trying to just keep our ears above water with the influx of submissions. And so, again, you guys are on our board. We're going to invite you two on our advisory board. So once you sell out to Google for a few million, you can tell us how to make that work.
We'll do a package deal. How's that?
I do want to add something here, if I could, just in the same train of thought, which is, pavement is part of it. So just so you know, this got going with the cool backcountry stuff. That's how I got going, you know, inventing and creating amazing things out in the boondocks. Peter did the same. A lot of the early people did the same thing. But this is for everybody. So if you're on pavement, you're still in there. But if it's like, you know, 20 laps around the block, sorry about that. It's got to be something fairly interesting. You see what I mean? So for example, something we've seen come in a lot now, which I really like, is Michigan. Michigan is the rails to trails state. That's one of their little mottos. So they've converted old rail lines into trails. Some of those are paved. This could be 24 miles and it's flat as a pancake. Great. That's a cool FKT route. You see what I mean? Mm-hmm. So you don't have to be out in the hinterlands. You can be on pavement, but if it's on pavement, make it interesting, if you see what I mean.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I'm excited about this topic, and hopefully those who are listening may consider going to the FKT and start thinking and being creative. Instead of letting a race director create a race, maybe this is your opportunity to expand beyond just moving your legs to get down the trail. Maybe you need to be creative and create your own race.
Cheaper too.
You know, we probably didn't cover everything about FKTs, and that's why Buzz has started an FKT podcast. Tell us a little bit about that and where someone can find that, and what is your direction with the FKT podcast?
Well, I think
and Buzz, just if you're counting, you counted two questions for me. Scott had about four there. So pick the easiest and we'll work on our way through.
Well, first of all, you just called out what we're doing. And so we're kind of like sister organizations, if I could say that, because we're there to do exactly what you just did. And so I'm going a big call out for you folks right now. You just directed attention in our direction. So that's what you're doing. You're supporting people. You're supporting the sport. So hopefully that's what we're doing as well. So the FK podcast has people on it who have done interesting things and other people might want to hear about. And hopefully they provide some information as well. So probably half to two thirds of them are someone notable who's done something interesting. Marshall Ulrich was on recently. Marshall, you know, ran across America. Marshall, I am doing it right now, right? I'm calling out Marshall. Marshall just published a book, his second book, but he also did Bad Water Unsupported.
Twice, right? Back and forth?
Well, he did the Badwater quad.
Oh.
But that one was supported. But he did the single Badwater unsupported, which means he went from Death Valley to Whitney carrying all his own water, which is nuts. Well, which is impressive. You can fill in your own adjective, right? So he's doing this in July. At any rate, so we have people like that. People like Andrew Skirka on talking about lightweight gear. So I think we probably do similar things with us being a fastest known orientation. We have a mix of interesting people other folks might want to hear about, and hopefully some interesting and helpful technical advice.
Well, that's great. Well, Buzz, hey, we're super excited. We're grateful that you took some of your valuable retirement time instead of gardening and come on the podcast with us. I know you're not gardening. You're probably out there with your map and compass trying to figure out what your next FKT is.
He's not even retired, Scott. Do you hear all the stuff he's doing?
Hey, just curious, one last question. Right now, how many FKTs are you guys processing on a week or day or however you track it?
I could open email right now, and during the past hour, I would say two would have come in while we've been talking.
Wow. That's so great. I'm glad that people are out there and enjoying nature and challenging themselves. I think this is, I'm actually motivated. I may start thinking about an FKT that I can do. The best thing about that is I know that I'm going to be the first one to cross the finish line.
One thing I know for sure, Scott, you're not closing this podcast with any FKT quality. This is the longest close I've ever heard.
Hey, thank you, Buzz. We appreciate your time. Make sure you go check out the FKT podcast and check out the website, FKT.com. If you can't remember that, it'll be in the show notes, because that's all I have that I need to do.
Hey, Buzz, thank you so much for joining us. It was a fun conversation.
And Trail Runner Nation, again, you guys are doing fantastic work. You're supporting the people. You're supporting the sport. This has been a delight. Thank you very much.
So go out and run,
Moss.